Good morning to all of you. Howdy. Well, how was your feast in the, of celebrating St. Joseph yesterday? I prayed a lot, and I asked the Holy Patriarch for his protection, his care, and his the grace to imitate his example. So silent, but so effective and useful to the plans of God. This is the best that could happen to us, that we find ourselves useful to God. One of the things that moves me a lot in the from the scriptures is that when Jesus asked, he would ask, you know, like the donkey, when he was going to enter Jerusalem before his passion and death, he sent his apostles to pick up this animal, which he would use for his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And when they picked this animal up, well, the people asked, why were they taking it? And he said, and they replied, the Lord has use of it. So they let them go. The Lord has use of you. The Lord needs you. Isn't that amazing? That although he can do everything, he wants to count on our collaboration. Isn't that wonderful? We shouldn't miss the chance. Today we read from the book of Daniel again, chapter 3. It tells us of the story of three men who are subjected to a test. And they pass the test from the point of view of God. But from the point of view of the pagan king, they failed, and thus they had to be punished, as was established by law. Well, these stories are not exactly historical, but they, you also remember the story of Daniel, who was dropped into the den of lions, and he was not touched by any lion because of the assistance of an angel. Well, such an angel was also sent by God to protect these three men. I'll get to that in a moment. But these stories paint the atmosphere of the people at that time. Nebuchadnezzar, who lived about 6th century BC, before Christ, and well, the situation after these events showed that the people emphasized a lot the protection from God as long as we are faithful. This I'm just reminded of my brother who died because of COVID, November of 2020, the year when well, COVID struck and the shutdown, right? The lockdown happened. People were still unfamiliar with this virus and the cure or the treatment or the protocol for treating patients. So, I don't know. I prayed to God that he be cured. But suddenly he died. I was wondering, really, why did God not cure him? In fact, as I was reflecting on this, he actually cured my brother, except that he cured him in a manner of cure that was not my point of view. I was only thinking about the life here on earth, but the Lord was thinking about the life eternal. So he removed him from this dimension and brought him to the next life. Of course, he was cured, right? Absolutely cured of COVID or any other problem. That's why I trust always God's providence. He always has our back. Anyway, here we have King Nebuchadnezzar saying to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these were the three men Is it true that you do not serve my gods and that you refuse to worship the golden statue I have erected? When you hear the sound of horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, or any other instrument, are you prepared to prostrate yourselves and worship the statue I have made? If you refuse to worship it, you must be thrown straight away into the burning fiery furnace. That was the test. They did not worship as commanded by their king, Nebuchadnezzar. So they deserve this punishment. And where is the God who could save you from my power? His challenge was, who God will be able to save you? Yeah, indeed. It would make someone doubt whether someone would be able to do it, right? Or protect them or save them. But from the point of view of this pagan king, he thought that there was no God who could protect them. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, well, they knew better. And we should know better as well because of our faith. So Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego replied to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Your question hardly requires an answer. If our God, the one we serve, is able to save us from the burning fiery furnace and from your power, O King, he will save us. And even if he does not, then you must know, O King, that we will not serve your God or worship the statue you have erected." Well, this attitude of these three men was very admirable. You know, full trust in God and his providence. Something evil was going to happen, but they were open to all possibilities. I mean, God knows better. And as pointed out a few days ago about Susanna, well, our Lord Jesus Christ's case, no, of being betrayed and given up and was tortured and was killed on the cross, he was not saved. Right? Actually, he was not saved, but he saved so many. From evil, God gets what is good. And Jesus resurrected. He came back to life. He could do that. Nobody expected it. Nobody would expect that. But God has so many aces up his sleeve. So Nebuchadnezzar was infuriated by the words, this attitude of these three men. So he gave orders for the furnace to be made seven times hotter than usual and commanded certain stalwarts from his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sprang to his feet in amazement. He said to his advisors, "Did we not have these three men thrown bound into the fire?" "Certainly, O king," they replied, but he went on, "I can see four men walking about freely in the heart of the fire without coming to any harm. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, "Blessed," well, he called them out. He called them to come out of the furnace and have this conversation. "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He has sent his angel to rescue the servants who, putting their trust in him, defied the order of the king and preferred to forfeit their bodies rather than serve or worship any god but their own." And the reading stops there. A very good example, this story, a very good example for all of us to stick it out with our Lord. How far are you willing to go when our faith is challenged? I don't know, some people would like to have a baby and they employ means that, are not licit. For example, having another woman to carry your baby, artificial insemination and whatever procedures like that, in vitro fertilization. Of course. Yeah, it's so tempting. The application of technology in an improper sense, because babies are not manufactured. Babies are not produced by a syringe, by a lab technician fertilizing an egg outside of its proper environment, which is in the womb, in the body of the mother. So, the church has always defended sexual intercourse as the normal act of love in marriage, and that's how babies are made. Fruit of the love, the action of love between husband and wife. I remember also some the news of from some European country, whose this lady or this woman, she was young, but she was suffering so much, and opted to have euthanasia. She wanted it, and the law of that country permitted this. Well, yeah, it's true. I guess I would be asking for death. But we should ask for death from God, the owner of life, and that He keeps us alive for a longer time, even though there is so much pain. Well, we'll have to take it, like Jesus did. I mean, he could have died 1 hour after hanging there, but he chose 3 hours until the last second. We have to trust in God. I must say also that medicine has produced ways of managing pain. And the patient is sedated. Most of the time, people are not able to take their pain because they are not cared for properly. And they don't see so much affection from their loved ones, or, you know, people become pragmatic and practical. Yeah. And we disrespect human life in all its ages. Well, I end here. I mention these things for our consideration. Let us be faithful to God, like these three men. And thank you for listening. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain forever. Amen. Ciao!